welcome to Ray and Tay today with our NBA preview special. Hello, hello, and welcome to this special basketball preview show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. And listen, this is it, the preview show. We're hyped. The NBA starts tonight. So listen, you want to join the show, hit us up, 718-664-9098. Like always, Ray and Tay today at gmail.com. We're getting a lot of NBA predictions coming in. RayandTayToday.com will be interactive. We'll have some standings, a lot of things on the site. You'll see our show and our picks on the show, on the site. And also, like always, and Twitter's jumping, Ray and Tay Today at Twitter and also on Facebook. So, you know, hey, I got to say, man, I miss Ray. Ray stopped by. He was in Phoenix in Scottsdale, Arizona yesterday. We did the show together, so check out the Monday show for week 8, the 28th. It was pretty busy yesterday. A lot of people were checking it out, and it was great to have Ray and Tay together in the same spot. You know, normally, Ray, you know, you're over there holding down New York City, and I had to bounce over here to hold down and lift up the West Coast. So, Ray, let them know how our NBA special is going down.
So we got a lot to talk about, but we're focused. You know, usually we jump around. We do breaking news. We do NFL, NBA, college, whatever the sports world wants, we bring it to them. But this show, we're focused. We've got NBA on the brain. We've got a caller calling in about halfway through the hour. Anthony Donahue, you might know him from his coverage of the Knicks. He's a Knicks fanatic. He follows all basketball, but he's a Knicks guy, goes to a lot of games. He's hanging out there with Clyde Frazier, throwing events at Clyde's Bar and at Traffic Bar here in New York. So Anthony will be joining us around the 30-minute mark. But Ray and Tay are going to bring you the 2013-14 NBA season. We're going to preview how we think the conferences are going to shape up. So we'll start with the Western Conference. We'll move to the Eastern Conference. We'll tell you who we think the playoff teams will be. We'll tell you who we think are going to be folks fighting for playoff seeding. We're going to predict the conference finals, the NBA championship. We'll also give you our awards. We'll give you our Rookie of the Year, our Player of the Year, our Coach of the Year, our Sixth Man of the Year. Whatever you want, we'll bring it
to you.
We got
it.
So, yeah, NBA preview. So we got a lot to talk about. And first let me just say that I'm fired up because my man Tay was watching summer ball. And, you know, I've been burned in the past getting too excited about summer league and getting too excited about players and thinking that they would come in and make an impact. So now it's the real deal. You know, no more summer league, no more preseason. It's real. So here we are.
You know what's interesting?
Talking about NBA.
You talked about that, but what's pretty cool, there's 29 teams who in their top 12 rotation have players that have previously played in the D League, you know, which are the summer ball type caliber guys. And, you know, I think that's fascinating. And it says that the NBA right behind baseball is really developing a great minor league. I think there's actually 13 or 15 organizations that have, you know, their own D League team. You know, some teams sort of share, but the advantage is that they run the same offense and defensive systems, you know. So when the guys get called up from the Thunder or, the Knicks or, you know, from their other teams and affiliates, they've been running what the coach has already got installed. So that's great. But you know what, let's stop the foolishness. Can the Heat win three in a row? That's what I want to know. Do you like what the Heat have done? Greg Oden, Michael Beasley, they lose, you know, get rid of Miller. You know, they got the young rookie that came in who, you know, might be a pretty solid pick. What do you think about just, let's just start off with the Heat and look at, you know, their team, their rotation, the strength. Can they do big things? Can they do what Pat Riley, you know, coined the phrase, three-peat?
So let's go to our memory bank. And the last team to three-peat, even though the Lakers coined it, that he was going for it in 89, I guess. He had won 87 and 88. And then the Pistons beat him in 89. But the last team to three-peat was Michael Jordan's teams, who did it twice. And those teams were phenomenal. And, you know, this Heat team is pretty phenomenal as well. Now, they're a Ray Allen three away from losing two out of three times in the NBA Finals, right? So Spurs just as easily could have won that NBA Finals as the Heat. But the Heat won, so they are now in a position to, if they three-peat, that means they will have gone to the finals four straight years. So that's pretty
that's
amazing,
incredible.
Right?
Yeah.
And having won three. So they have every bit a chance as anybody else in the league to win, right? So if you go to Vegas, they're probably the odds-on favorite to win it. So barring injury to one of the, you know, major factors on that team, right, LeBron, Wade, or Bosch, There's no reason to think that the Heat can't win it. Now, I'm going to give you my prediction later on in the show. I'll give you a sneak peek.
No,
I don't have
definitely.
The Heat winning it. I don't have the Heat
Woo!
Winning it, but they're the favorite. They're the favorite to win it.
Why wouldn't they
be? The only thing that will be is, you know, in the dog days of March and April, right before the playoffs.
Well, February, when everybody's tired, too.
Yeah, right before the All-Star break. Do they take their foot off the gas? Do they get out of sync a little bit? And can somebody, you know, what's the formula to beating the Heat?
Well, look, I mean, you've got, like, these superstars come together. You know, we'll just go around some of the big stories. You know, Kobe, when he comes back, how healthy will he be? Will the Lakers miss the playoffs? We've got, you know, the Brooklyn squad with the, you know, billion-dollar roster, getting Pierce and Garnett, Kirilenko, Jason Terry, the depth on that team, you know, what can they do? Granger, we said the other day, will be out the first 3 weeks with the calf. He'll be the sixth man. Are the Pacers deeper, getting Sciola and stuff? So there's a lot of interesting questions. I just want to say this. I'm fascinated to see, and we'll talk to Anthony about this sort of Brooklyn-New York battle, and this year it's going to be probably, you know, more intense than even last year. It got delayed with Sandy, you know, and that's when we had Anthony Donahue on last year, you know, from Blog Talk Radio. Now he's doing Spreecast, doing the Knicks, real popular with the Knicks fans. So that, to me, will be interesting in terms of with Pierce, you know, saying, hey, we run New York, and we're going to take the town over, and now having veterans like Pierce and Garnett and the Jet that can score in the clutch, can, you know, Jason Kidd, who was just with the Knicks last year, right, can they sort of derail, you know, and take over sort of the city or the town? I mean, they never will, truly, but if they win and win the Atlantic Division, that's a start, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It's smart for Garnett and Pierce to come in and do that, right? First of all, they take some of the pressure off of everybody else. And second of all, they're only going to be there for a year or two, right? So for their perspective, they're really Celtics. And so they're just trying to stir the pot a little bit, get everybody fired up, get everybody talking rivalry, because they like that. They like playing under pressure.
Yeah.
They like getting under people's skin, you know. So from their perspective, that's brilliant.
Giving them some swag, right?
yeah, bring some swag to Brooklyn because, you know, they've got two more years to try and win themselves one more title.
Yeah. So let's tell everybody tonight we have three games. Obviously, the doubleheader on TNT where it's the Bulls and the Chicago Bulls going to Miami Heat. They'll get the rings. The Clippers after that go to L.A. But the first game, kind of interesting, Orlando at the Pacers. You know, it's interesting because I think that, honestly, the Pacers have a shot, really, to, you know, Paul George has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. I think what he did in the finals shows us that he's, you know, sort of ready, and it's his team. And I like their moves, you know, getting C.J. Watson, Sciola, you know, having Stevenson develop, Granger maybe up there for sixth man of the year. So why don't we get into it, right, before Ant comes on? Let's start with the Western Conference, because to me, and we said this off air, but I think it's fascinating. The NBA, David Stern leaves after, you know, after the All-Star weekend or whatever, passes it on as a commissioner, but he's leaving it in great hands. Not too many leagues can say, feasibly, if everything goes right, there is five teams in the East and six teams in the West, going all the way from, you know, Grizzlies, Warriors, Rockets, Thunder, Spurs, Clippers, to Knicks, Nets, Heat, Bulls, and Pacers. 11 teams, Ray, that can win the NBA title. Legitimate chance. That's incredible. So who do you think is the best in the West? Who's sort of your definite number one seed this year?
So like you said, there's five or six teams in each conference that could not only compete, you know, to win their conference, but also win an NBA title. So I think that these teams in the West are almost interchangeable at the top, and you could take the top four or five and say that if a few things fall their way, they could,
right,
you know, win the West. But I like the L.A. Clippers. I like that Los Angeles Clippers. To me, they have the roster.
Two new
now,
starters.
Especially with two new – right, especially with, you know, with the additions that they made. But Doc Rivers brings that championship pedigree, that championship toughness. And, you know, I like when your best player is a point guard to have a coach that was a point guard. So I think that he's going to really take Chris Paul to the next level and bring with him, you know, because Doc was never as talented as Chris Paul, but Doc was tough.
But had
he
the savvy, right? Had the
Marquette,
smart.
Yeah, at Marquette, and then with the Atlanta Hawks, and then, you know, the Knicks. He got hurt that season. They ended up bringing in Derek Harper to take them to the, you know, NBA Finals and lose to the Rockets in 94. But he's a tough, savvy guy. And to me, it's perfect. It's perfect for the type of player Chris Paul is. You know, Vinny Del Negro did an okay job. They ended up winning. But ultimately, I think as soon as Doc Rivers walks in, you know, it's like E.F. Hutton.
Yeah.
When he talks, people listen. So I like the Clippers. I love the roster. I think this will be the year that Blake Griffin shows that he's more than a dunker, that he can play. DeAndre Jordan has nothing but upside. And, again, I love that roster. I really do. I think that they finally have a team top to bottom that can play and that can play, you know, championship basketball. And the good thing is for them that the Lakers are going to be down this season, right? So they don't have to compete in market for the attention, right? So everybody, I think, in L.A. is going to be backing the Clippers. So at least when they realize that the Lakers, No, it's a Lakers town still, but this year, if you want to see fun playoff basketball, that's going to be happening at Staples, but it's going to be happening for the Clippers.
I agree with you. Reddick and Dudley, I think those are great additions. No. You're totally right. And I have the Clippers number one, too. I like Byron Mullins off the bench. The other veteran off the bench that I like. But when you have Crawford potentially as your sixth man, J.J. Reddick and Dudley, you know, Reddick is, you know, you worry about him on the defensive side, but they have what it's amazingly important in the NBA now, a backup point guard in Darren Collison. I thought that was a great pickup. And then the veteran from the Lakers who can score, that's who I'm talking about, the Tar Heel baby, Antoine
Jameson.
They keep Barnes. So, I mean, that bench, when you look at that bench, you know, you bring in like Hollins and just bangers, but I like, don't sleep on our guy, another Tar Heel, Reggie Bullock. You know, so when you look at their bench and say, hey, real quickly, they could bring in Mullins, Jameson, Barnes, and Crawford with Collison, they've got a backup five right there. that can, you know, win games and run. And that each, you know, perfect position. The backcourt would be Collison and Crawford, Mullins in the front, Jamison at the four, and then Barnes at the three. This Clipper team is loaded, and I agree. Griffin and Jordan, and I think Dudley's the unsung hero, and Reddick's shooting. Because when you have Crawford, I mean, when you've got the point guard and Chris Paul dishing it out with small lineups, they could go three guards sometimes, right? And then have Crawford and Reddick on the three-point line with Griffin and Jordan. That's ridiculous. So I agree with that, man. We're both sort of in the same place. I think we flip-flop two and three, right? You've got the Thunder, too. I'm worried about the injuries with Westbrook when he comes back. And sort of like we talked about in our show last week, who to, you know, look forward to, you know, don't sleep on him, our new segment. You had Jeremy Lamb, and I think he is going to be a big key until Westbrook gets back to do a little bit of ball handling, a little bit of scoring, you know, sort of give Durant a, you know, Durant shouldn't be playing point three, right? I mean, and I think that's going to be huge for them. And then the development of Reggie Jackson. If Reggie Jackson can sort of hold it down and Lamb plays good and you still have got, you know, their veterans, you know, they can, you know, finish second or third easily and still make a deep playoff run. You know?
You know, that's a team that is looking back on that Harden trade and is saying to themselves, you know, did we just shoot ourselves in the foot? Now, granted, I don't know anybody that's won a championship with, you know, the best 1-2-3 in the league. Usually you need to have front court and back court help. But it's not like they traded him for, you know, some additions in the front court, right? It was essentially Kevin Martin who they lost, and now Jeremy Lamb. So for their sake, for the Thunder's sake, I hope that Jeremy Lamb turns into a player and turns into the you know, the rising star he was in Connecticut. If Russell Westbrook really only misses the first quarter of the season, I think they have a chance. If he misses much more than that, I think it's hard because, as we saw, coming back from that knee injury is not easy. Right?
Yeah.
Adrian Peterson did everyone in the sports world a disservice by coming back so quickly. It's not normal. You know, usually, depending on how severe your knee injury is, it's definitely anywhere from 6 to 12 months or even longer.
Plus, he had that infection, right? Remember, he had a second procedure.
At least he didn't blow out an ACL. But, you know, anytime you do knees, and a guy as athletic as Russell Westbrook is, right, he is the quality of basketball player he is, not because he's pure, not because he's like this great, you know, tactician. It's just because he's this outstanding athlete on defense and on offense, and he's basically unguardable. So if his knee is 80%, he's guardable. So I think it's all about when Russell Westbrook comes back. So if Russell Westbrook comes back right around the All-Star break or, you know, that time frame, then I got to knock the Thunder down a couple of notches. But if he really only misses, you know, 15, 20 games, I think they'll be okay.
Right. So, okay, so basically, let's talk about the Spurs, right, who were just, you know, like you said, one shot away. I've got the Spurs in the number two seed, and you've got the Thunder in two seed, and then the three seed is the Thunder. For me is the Thunder, and for you the Spurs. So we'll get to the four where we're different. But looking at the Spurs, I like bringing in Bellinelli. You know, they lose Neal to Milwaukee Bucks. They let him go to Gary Neal to Milwaukee Bucks. They just extended Kawhi Leonard and Corey Joseph to their fourth-year options, which is smart, just like the Knicks just did with Shumpert. Duncan showed me yeoman's work and heart. People were questioning whether or not if Ginobili would come back. He comes back. Is this Spur team with Tony Parker still being a top five point guard? And that top five point guard, you know, can be debated from here to eternity because there's really like 10 great point guards now in the league, the deepest position. Do you think the Spurs and sort of what they went through last year, is there some wear and tear or, you know, And did they miss like a DeJuan Blair and did their offseason moves and just them getting older, does it hurt them? Or can they slide right back in and doesn't matter their seed and they could just still sort of knock teams off in the playoffs?
Well, I think that every year from now on hurts them. I think that Tim Duncan is not the dominant Tim Duncan that he used to be, certainly not on the offensive end. He can still rebound. He can still block shots. He can still give you a couple of critical possessions on offense, but he's not the Tim Duncan of 5 years ago even. So, to me, losing that NBA final, I think that's it for them. And I'm a huge Spurs fan, and I'm a huge Duncan fan, but I think the air is slowly coming out of the balloon. The great draft pick was Kawhi Leonard, and picking up Marco Bellinelli helps. But their problems are athleticism on the wing and size. And I still have a problem with them in terms of their size. Now, it depends on the matchup, right? There aren't many teams that can take advantage of their, you know, the fact that really it's kind of Duncan and Thiago Splitter really are the only two.
Right.
You know,
and then Diaw.
Yeah, Boris Diaw, 6'8".
The red,
you know,
bomber,
trying to
Bonner.
Play big. Bonner's a matchup problem because he shoots, but he's really not, you know, the guy. So, look, I think they'll finish third. You think they'll finish second in the Western Conference. That's fine. It all comes down to the playoffs for them. And I
think
that the more athletic teams are just going to take advantage of them, like 2 years ago when the Thunder just ran them out the building. I mean, they won those first two games, and then the Thunder was like, okay, enough. And then the Thunder just took over. They were just more athletic and younger.
Yeah.
So I think the Spurs are going to be great in the regular season like they always are. Look, finishing third in the West is very respectable.
Right.
I just think ultimately they'll win a series or two. I'll give you my preview at the end. But I think they don't make it to the finals, but they can do some work in the playoffs.
You know what the problem is? And I sort of said it, and you mentioned it right there with size, and that's the key. It's Duncan, Splitter, and Bonner. They lose Neil, but they also lose DeJuan Blair. Didn't play so much in the finals, but whenever he came in for a couple minutes, it's the size. And so Green and Leonard have developed, right? Sometimes you can get away with Leonard at the four and go small, but, you know, bringing in, you know, having Ginobili back and then bringing in Bellinelli and then Diaw, I do think when it comes down to banging, good thing it's an undersized NBA, but I do think sort of losing Neil and Blair, and then really the only person they really add is Bellinelli, I kind of worry, you know, if that's going to catch up to them. So let's move on. And four, I've got the Rockets, right? I think you have the Grizzlies. But let's just both talk about Houston, and then we can talk about the Grizzlies. For me, I think what I like, and I said, you know, and don't sleep on him, Omer Asik, I like there'll be times he could play the five and Howard at the four. You know, Patrick Beverley might start at the point. It could be, you know, Lynn. They go back and forth with that. Harden, Chandler Parsons is ready to step up. I think this team is sort of in a perfect spot with having some size and then even Greg Smith, so that three-man rotation of the big guys, Asik, Howard, and Smith, and then having still athleticism. And don't sleep on Francisco Garcia. You know, I think his shooting and Caspi playing better, along with, you know, Harden, who is only, you know, probably still going to get better for a couple years. And I think him and the development of Parsons juxtaposed with Howard and the size, I think I have the Rockets at four, and I think they're going to be really deadly.
So I think the Rockets will take half a year to get, you know, half a season to get their act together. I don't know that they know how to play with somebody like a Dwight Howard. I love their three with Howard, Parsons, and of course Harden, but to me they have sort of an identity issue, right? What are they, and what are they at the end of games, right? Is this a James Harden team? Is this Jeremy Lin pick and roll with the big fella with Dwight Howard? Their roster, I liked Asik last year. I don't know how Asik and Howard play. Are they going to play them together? Or is this strictly going to be a 48-minute split between the two? Because if so, you're not getting as much out of Asik as you should. I wonder.
They'll play together some.
Yeah, okay. I wonder if they can get something off the bench from like a Terrence Jones, Omri Caspi, like you said, Francisco Garcia from the outside. They brought back Aaron Brooks. So there's a lot of unknowns with Houston. And the first of which starts with Dwight Howard, and how do they work him into the rotation? So,
but remember,
look,
he's healthy
like
for the whole
Houston.
Season this time.
I like Houston, but I think they'll be a second-half team. The team I like even better, the team I think they're ultimately going to face in the first round and probably lose to in the first round, is the Memphis Grizzlies, man. This team doesn't get enough respect. You know,
yeah.
I think that their front court with Zebo and Marc Gasol You know, they can frustrate Dwight Howard, and they can frustrate the Houston Rockets. And I believe that they'll – and they brought in Ed Davis, so they have, you know, even more size. They made that trade, obviously, for our
Mike Miller comes back.
Yeah, Mike Miller returns home if he's got anything left in the tank. They got rid of Rudy Gay, and we both criticized them for that. But you know what? They didn't skip a beat. So, you know, we'll see if they can get anything out of, you know, on the outside, out of Jamal Franklin and Quincy Pondexter and Tayshaun Prince.
Well, Quincy's developed, right?
Career.
He got better in the playoffs. Quincy got better in the playoffs. And then, remember, Tony Allen is coming off a great season. And we all notice it in the playoffs. Conley is now
Conley.
A baller,
yep.
And is an illegitimate point guard. So, you know, I think you're right in sort of you've got them at four. I have them at six. But the Grizzlies in the West, it's all about what happens in the playoffs. Like you said, the season sort of the standings and the seeding almost doesn't even matter. Because the Grizzlies, like you said, with Zach and Gasol and Tayshaun for the whole year, they can thump and bounce anybody out at any time.
Yeah.
So
well,
let's
talk
go.
To me about your second half of the Western Conference. So the other bottom four playoff teams.
Right. So I have the Warriors at five, and we'll go to them, and then you know six Grizzlies, Nuggets seven, and Timberwolves at eight. But let's talk about the Warriors. I have them at five.
Warriors.
You have the come out to play. You have them at six or seven?
I have the Warriors at six.
Okay, and I have them at five. So basically, to me, it's, you know, Mark Jackson, great coach, Andrew Bogut healthy for the whole season, and then, you know, you lose the veterans in Landry and Jack, and you're sort of hoping that bringing in Iguodala and then, you know, the other veterans that they brought in. And really, it's all about the backcourt, right? To me, I think having Bogut healthy, but then bringing in, I mean, having Klay Thompson and Curry, you know, God bless them, if they can stay healthy for the whole season, we've said it, you know, before, it's the best shooting, you know, backcourt in the NBA without a doubt. I guess my question is, does Jermaine O'Neal and then Harrison Barnes, who could be sixth man of the year because Iguodala is going to be starting, does Jermaine O'Neal and then Spates, who I like, they bring in off the, you know, to sort of replace Carl Landry, and then Tony Douglas, who's no Jaren Jack, but, you know, we see how what he does in Draymond Green. How do you think the depth of this team, you know, sort of works out for their playoff run?
So I really like this Warrior team from a roster perspective, right? I think they've got all the elements you need. I still worry that in the West, you know, I look at the team that they have, and, you know, Andre Iguodala is a heck of a player, and what it does is it moves Harrison Barnes off, to the bench, which might be the best thing for him. So he just comes in,
yeah.
You know, he's a cerebral type of player, but he just comes in and just lets it loose, and he play against, you know, people getting tired or second-teamers, and he's a legit NBA player, you know, our boy from Carolina. So I do like that. My question with them is always about execution in the playoffs. It's about their front court. You know, is Andrew Bogut, you'd say he's healthy, but will he stay healthy? Draymond Green is small, and even David Lee, who's a rebound double-double machine,
yeah.
he's also pretty small. Can you get anything out of Jermaine O'Neal? Does he have anything left in the tank? Maurice Spates, you're right, he's another size player. Can he stay healthy and can he contribute? I just look at that Western Conference and it's so brutal. For me to say that the Warriors are a very, very good team, I can say that and still say that to me they're not as good as the Clippers, the Thunders, the Spurs, the Grizzlies, and the Rockets. And that's nothing wrong with the Warriors. They could still win between 50 and 56 games and come in, you know, sixth place in the conference. They can win 52 games and still come in sixth.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So, look, where we differ is, right, you have the Nuggets eight, I have them seven. And sort of, you know, look, they lost Iguodala. They still have their team run and gun. They lose their coach. We'll see, you know, without George Karl and bringing in Brian Shaw, what that does philosophy-wise. I still think they hang on and make the playoffs. But this is where it gets interesting. I have the T-Wolves making it. And it very well could be the Blazers, but you have the Blazers. So let's talk about those two teams, and, we both sort of respect the Pelicans. For me, the T-Wolves, I think it's all about health, right? The guys are coming back healthy, and don't sleep on the fact that, yeah, it's Rubio and Kevin Love coming back. I love the draft picks of Gorgui Dieng and Shabazz Muhammad. We love
the
center,
yeah.
Pekovic, right? And then two key guys who are probably going to start, Corey Brewer at the three and Kevin Martin coming in as shooting guard with Chevette off the bench, J.J. Barea. I think this team, and you know, and then also Derek Williams, if he finally steps up and develops, they're so deep, Ray. I mean, honestly, this team is a legitimate 10 deep and all sort of not star players. Don't even forget our boy Ronnie Turioff, the ex-Nick, you know, as their, like, 11th man. So,
Tenderoni, man.
I you know, it's hard for me. I could have gone with the Blazers like you, but I had to go with Minnesota falling in that 8th spot. You got the Blazers at 7, so why don't you talk about the Blazers, who I
love,
too.
I got the Blazers and Nuggets at 7
yeah.
and 8, right? I like Denver to sneak past your Timberwolves. I think that Denver's home court advantage is real.
Yeah.
I think that J.J., you know, they brought back some talent, J.J. Hickson. They brought back Andre Miller. You know, Kenneth Faried is a monster. Wilson Chandler, when he's healthy, is the man. You know, very versatile swing man. Darrell Arthur is growing into a decent little player from Kansas.
Gallinari,
you know,
yeah.
You know, and our boy Gallinari, when he's healthy, you know, he looks awkward, but he gets to the foul line, and he makes it happen. And he's 6'10". He's hard to guard. So, and then, of course, you got that backcourt, Andre Miller and Ty Lawson. Nate Robinson is going to give him a little oomph. I like that Denver Nugget team to make it. But the Portland Trail
Blazers,
they have your guy that you called from day one Rookie of the Year last year.
And a potential
Damian
Rookie of the
Lillard.
Year this year.
Yeah, they could. But
CJ
I
McCullough.
Think that combination of Damian Lillard and LaMarcus Aldridge as kind of your big man and your little man, I think that puts them in a position to do pick-and-roll basketball and to really be able to get points in the clutch from the outside and down low. I like C.J. McCollum. I think he's kind of a combo guard, but you know what? They need some scoring. I think Robin Lopez helps them up front. Myers Leonard, let's see if they can get anything out of him. I like this kid, Alan Crabb from Cal. We'll see if he does anything. And, you know, the guy that Minnesota really, 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 really wanted was Nicholas Batum. And I think that this is a year that he struts his stuff. So if they can get production out of, you know, the big men around LaMarcus Aldridge. So that's, you know, Thomas Robinson and some of the other big men, you know, Myers Leonard and Robin Lopez. I think that they have enough skill position, you know, kind of like in football, right?
And I love Wesley Matthews.
And Wes Matthews, right.
Yeah.
He came out of nowhere 2-3 years ago to
great
solidify
NBA
that.
Great NBA fantasy.
That starting two guard. So I like this Portland team led by your boy Dame Lillard. So I like them to be a playoff team. So I like Denver and Portland a little bit ahead of Minnesota. The Timberwolves, I don't think it's their year to make the playoffs this year.
Okay, so we'll see how that flipped off. So, listen, we don't know sort of like, you know, the Mavs, their health. We'll see what they do. I don't love the roster. The Lakers, it's all about Kobe. They brought in a bunch of, you know, random guys, Nick Young, some scorers, stuff like that. We got to see what happens with Kobe. But this is the team I want to talk about. I have them right there at 10 with the Blazers at 9. It's the Pelicans. You know, I like to say it. So, you know, it used to be the Hornets, New Orleans. They switched it, so they should be the Jazz, but we won't get to that. But how many Pelicans are out there peddling? If Eric Gordon, Anthony Davis, who's dropping 25 in preseason, Tariq Evans, who's one of my guys, don't sleep on him, and then you're talking about Austin Rivers and Drew Holiday in the Nerlens Noel trade from the Sixers, that team to me, the Pelicans, Ray, they're very, very serious and they're very legit. I question some of their, you know, bangability. I got a new word for you. Some of their bangability with their size.
Bangability, I like it.
Bangability,
like it.
You like that, right? But one thing you got to consider, they can score with anybody. That backcourt of Holiday and Gordon, and then Evans at the 3, Davis at the 4, and, you know, you have the big Jason Smith starting at the 5. Don't forget the sharpshooter, Ryan Anderson, Austin Rivers off the bench, Aminu. They brought in Greg Stiesma, who's been a very serviceable center. Anthony Morrow. This team can shoot,
they
score.
Might get something out of this. Jeff Withey, the rookie from Kansas, maybe some defense,
yes.
A couple of blocked shots. Look,
it's,
to me, that Pelican
they're a year away probably,
compelling.
Right?
I think they're a year away. That's exactly what I was going to say. There's only one ball, and the problem is Tyreek Evans wants the ball, and Eric Gordon wants the ball. But Drew Holiday is going to say, well, it's my team, and I'm running the show. Austin Rivers, I didn't really like his game last year. I think he plays, you know, even fewer minutes this year. Anthony Davis, you know I love him. I just think they have a year or so to get used to each other. I think there's too many players that play too many different styles of ball that I don't know that they're going to be competitive enough to get a playoff spot this year in the West. I mean, that West is so tough. 1-6 is brutal. And even 8, 9, 10 are pretty good team. You know, if it's Denver, if it's Portland, if it's the T-Wolves.
It's insane. Let me just say this one thing, though, for the Mavs real quick, right? With Nowitzki, D'Alembert, Dewan Blair, they got some size. You still got Marion. The new backcourt of Calderon and Monte Ellis. Don't sleep on the Mavericks, you know, when you have Blair, Carter off the bench, you know, our boy Crowder, Ellington, you know, Bernard James maybe, the young guard, Shane Larkin, when he comes back healthy.
I'm asleep on them.
I know you're going to sleep, but don't sleep on the fact that they're going to, you know, they'll scratch some teams. We said real quick with the Lakers with Nick Young, it's also Jody Meeks. Can Nash stay healthy? Gasol. You're talking about Kamen. What will Blake do? Jordan Hill, Wesley Johnson, Jordan Farmer.
All right, we
back.
got the team, caller. Hold on.
Team's a mess.
Let's put the caller in.
Let's talk to our man.
Yeah, hello.
Talk about
Ray
the East.
Ray and Tay today.
What's that?
Anthony,
hey,
you're on
Anthony.
The air. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, this is Anthony. How's it going?
Hey, what's up,
what's
man?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. How are you?
We're good,
great.
Man. We're good.
We're great.
Listen, it's great to have you back on. If you remember, we had you on, and you were describing Sandy coming down for our NBA preview last year as it was just, you know, starting to swirl, unfortunately, in the whole tri-state and East Coast. So today, I do believe we have no storms, thank God, and things are looking better. And, Anthony, I want to ask you, how are our New York Knicks looking as they tip off the 2013-14 season?
I mean, they didn't have a great preseason. It's tough to, you know, even if they had a great preseason, I wouldn't say they're looking great. And even if they had a bad preseason, I wouldn't be like, they're looking bad. You know, obviously, they got some new additions with Andrea Bargnani, Beno Udrich, and Ron Artest. They lost some guys in Jason Kidd, Steve Novak, Marcus Camby, Rasheed Wallace, and Kurt Thomas. But a lot of those guys, those five guys, as much as they brought leadership, weren't even factors in the playoffs last year. But some say the Knicks will miss their leadership. We're yet to see that. We'll see when the season starts. But I think it's going to be a good season. I think the Knicks could be anywhere from a, I know as crazy as it sounds, anywhere from a 1 seed to a 5 seed. The Eastern Conference is that good. The Bulls are obviously going to be a lot better. The Pacers are a year better. The Nets, they're going to be a quality team. And obviously the Miami Heat are the Miami Heat. So it's going to be interesting, and it starts tonight. But the New York Knicks, they tip off in 25 hours at Madison Square Garden. It's going to be awesome. Tomorrow night the Knicks play the Bucks, but Thursday night, you know, in Chicago, big game already, second game of the year. And the Bulls, if you remember, without Derrick Rose last year, gave the Knicks a lot of hell. In fact, the Bulls went 0-4. The Knicks went 0-4 last year against the Chicago Bulls in the regular season.
Definite nightmare. You know what I want to ask you, Anthony? I mean, this is sort of interesting to me, the dynamic of, you know, we've spoke about it last year when you came on for the preview, and people will talk about it from now till it sort of ends. Amari and Melo, what, you know, sort of how Amari will be brought in, the minute-wise, and do you sort of like our maybe the differences, because I sort of like the pieces of Bargnani, and we'll see how him and Melo work. You got world peace defensively, a healthy Shumpert, and then bringing back sort of, you know, the big guy with, you know, Martin in terms of really banging some people around. So what makes this team sort of touch the level of last year's team or, forget the regular season, be better in the playoffs?
I mean, hopefully health. I mean, obviously last year one thing that hurt the Knicks in the playoffs is rebounding and health. J.R. Smith is hurt. Tyson Chandler wasn't himself in the playoffs. Carmelo Anthony was nursing the rotator cuff issue, and hopefully adding the additions of Bargnani and Ron Artest, even Beno Udrich, are going to help the Knicks come playoff time. Ron Artest is a guy who can help on the defensive side of the basketball. He's a guy who helps rebound, and he's a guy who can make outside shots. The Knicks really didn't shoot the ball last year well in the second round versus the Pacers. So thing about the playoffs, man, it's all every possession counts, which we learned last, which we know, which anybody knows that watches the game. But, you know, the Pacers definitely outplayed the Knicks, but if I go back and watch that series, the Knicks are a couple bounces away from being in the conference finals. That's not how it played out. Credit to the Indiana Pacers, but the Knicks are going to be right there again in the thick of things. And, you know, they could get bounced in the first round. I know this sounds crazy, but they could be in the finals. I mean, it's the East is that good. But you got to make the plays when it counts. Got to grab that loose ball. Got to get that rebound. And there was times last year they didn't. You know, I truly believe Tyson Chandler was himself. There's no way in hell Roy Hibbert has that series. And I mean, this is not excuses, by the way. So
yeah, no, definitely.
One, obviously, everybody come playoff time is banged up. But hopefully the Knicks aren't banged up like they were last year, and hopefully their additions can help them a lot, and hopefully you get the same production from Raymond Felton, you get the same production from Carmelo Anthony. Hopefully J.R. Smith can make a shot in the playoffs, and Iman Shumpert takes that next step, which I think he will for the New York Knicks. Amari Stoudemire, listen, let's stop talking about Melo and Amari. It probably doesn't work that well, but anything you can get from Amari this year, even if it's 20 minutes a game, 10, 12 points, you know, off the bench, that's awesome. I'm still not going to count on it because here's the thing with Amari Stoudemire, fellas, is that he could be playing really good basketball, maybe even averaging 15 points a game, and all of a sudden you wake up on, I don't know, January 18th for the sake of conversation, you wake up and he's out for the year because his knee gave out. So can't get too happy with any production you get from Amari Stoudemire. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I hope to God it doesn't. I'm just saying you almost can't get too excited with production from Amari Stoudemire because never knowing that knee's just going to give out. It sucks, but it's reality.
So, Anthony, let me ask you something. You spend a lot of time at the Garden.
I do.
I know you love it over there, and the Knicks are your squad, as they are for Ray and Tay. But there's a new arena in town, and the Barclays Center, you know, the billion-dollar complex. And they brought the three Celtics over, and they're starting a little bit of, you know, smack talk and this. So tell us what you think about the rivalry on the ground. Do you think that the Nets are going to push farther than the Knicks? And give us your preview of the Nets season for all of our Nets fans.
The Nets are
going to
be an awesome team. The Nets are going to be a 50-plus win team. I don't know if they get off to a great start. They got a lot of new players. It was a rivalry last year, but this year, anytime you add Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett against the New York Knicks, the rivalry is enhanced times 1,000. And, you know, the fans don't like each other. Whether it's in the streets or on the social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, fans don't like each other. The rivalry is going to be serious this year. Paul Pierce has admitted publicly he hates the Nets and the Knicks. So expect all four games to be extremely heated between the Knicks and the Nets. I can't say right now the Nets are better than the Knicks. The Nets have not played a real game yet. Will they be better after 82 games? Maybe. But I'm not going to say that right now. No way.
All right. Well, let's put you on the spot. So we've got... We're going to give our previews in a sec, but who do you have coming out of the East and who do you have coming out of the West? Who's your NBA Finals?
Well, out of the Western Conference, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Clippers just because I think they're a year more experienced. They made some awesome additions in the offseason, bringing in guys like J.J. Redick, even Collison to back up. Chris Paul, and obviously health is key for them. Blake Griffin can take that next step. DeAndre Jordan with the leadership of Chris Paul. But the biggest addition that the Clippers made was Doc Rivers. If you ask me, I think Doc Rivers is a phenomenal coach. In the Eastern Conference, boy, oh boy, you really put me on the spot here. man, I hate this. I'm going to pick the Knicks to come out of the East this year.
Wow, okay.
I'm going to pick the Knicks to come out.
But that means you think Tim Hardaway Jr. will even help out, huh?
I think he will. I think he's definitely going to help out. You know, it's tough to say how much. You know, he had an excellent preseason, and it's only preseason. But I think Tim Hardaway will help the Knicks this year. Tim Hardaway Jr., that is.
I do, too. All right, Ann, listen, we don't want to keep you long. Just let all of our listeners know, man. I mean, we know you were doing the Blog Talk Radio. It was huge. It was big. You know, you've done some of the Spreecast, and now you have the Anthony Donahue Show on Spreecast. Tell us, our audience, when it is, and just, you know, break down, you know, what you're doing on the show.
The Anthony Donahue Show on Spreecast, basically the same content as Blog Talk Radio, except you can watch me, actually, and interview my guests live on the webcam. It's the same thing, weeknights at 9 p.m. throughout the year. The Knicks don't play, so the schedule will vary from week to week. So, for example, this week I'm on tonight, and next week I'll be on, the nights the Knicks don't play. Very simple. You can go to theknicksblog.com to listen to it, and the link is right there. You can go to my website to listen to it also, anthonydonahue.com. Make sure to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, both the same name, Anthony MSG.
Thanks,
well,
man.
Great.
You're the best.
Thanks for shedding light on us. We'll check in with you during the season. Hopefully we all have a lot to cheer about with our Knicks.
All right, man. Thanks, guys.
Definitely.
Thanks so much for having us. Good luck, and let's go Knicks for sure.
Let's go Knicks, baby.
I'm in the media, but I'm a fan. I admit that.
Amen. We all are, baby. I think the Knicks, listen, they might have something for everybody. About Bargnani, he's going to be clutch. Shumpert taking the next level, and the health of Amari and JR. Let's go Knicks.
All right, brothers.
All right,
Ant. Take care. Have
again.
A good night.
Later. You too.
So that's great. You get it from sort of right now, Mr. Nick. I mean, Alan Hahn wrote in his book, like all these things you have to know about if you're a true Knicks fan, and one of them was listening to, Anthony Donahue's show when it was on Blog Talk and also his Spreecast. So that's true. If you're a Knicks fan, tweet at Anthony MSG. Great, guest, great show, and how he breaks down the Knicks. Let's talk Eastern Conference. The clock is moving. We both have the Heat number one. We've already talked about them. I have the Bulls at two. I know you think highly of the Bulls. My question to you is the bench. I don't like losing Nate Robinson and Bellinelli. Of course, you get Derrick Rose back. And like Anthony said, preseason doesn't mean everything, but I got to say this. He almost looks bigger, better, stronger, and much faster.
And
he's like
5 inches to his vertical.
Yes.
Well,
that's ridiculous. But do you like Dunleavy? We know what D. Rose can do. We know the rotation of Boozer, Gibson, and Noah. Noah's a little banged up. He'll be back. But do you like the bench? This is my concern with them, when they start to really go deep. So you're talking about Dunleavy. And I guess if, you think so highly of them, so that means Heinrich's got to come back healthy. He's a little banged up. And then the development of Marcus Teague. You've got Nazir Muhammad. And then Butler is ridiculous defensively. He's going to start the two, and then maybe they get something out of the rookie Snell. Tell me about your Bulls, man.
Let's put it this way. The Bulls, I have them going deep into the playoffs. We'll get into that in a sec. But
You
know what? They picked up the best free agent addition of anybody. His name is Derrick Rose. They added him to a team that was fourth. Now, they did lose Nate Robinson and Marco Bellinelli, yes, but they added Derrick Rose to a team that was giving everybody fits in the playoffs, so in the regular season and in the playoffs. So I like the Bulls. I love Tom Thibodeau, right? I think Tom Thibodeau and
Doc Rivers
are about
two
as
best,
good
yeah.
Coaches as
With
there
Popovich.
Are and Popovich, yeah.
Those
about
three,
as good
yeah.
as there are in the league in a long time even. And I think that they can shorten their rotation enough so that Heinrich, Gibson, Dunleavy, give them enough, and maybe Nazi Muhammad, give them enough off the bench, and maybe they'll get something out of Eric Murphy, the beast out of Florida.
Right.
But
Tony Snell and Teague. Teague's going to have to play, though, Ray, the backup point guard. Teague will have to, take it like
Teague
his brother did to the next level last year.
Heinrich can play backup point two. Heinrich can play backup point two,
yeah.
Right? So he can give you both guard positions. But I just like that team. And, again, they're susceptible. The shorter your bench, the more susceptible you are to injury. But if that team stays healthy, I think they have the formula to beat anybody because they have the explosive point guard. They have the defensive mindset. They have the coaching. They have the experience. And you know what? That team, start to finish, is a tough, tough team. And they can lose a game on the road. They can be down in a series and bounce back. I love the Bulls, man. I think.
Do you know what makes them special now?
To come back.
Noah's development offensively makes them a little bit special now, to be honest with you. So let's go on to number three. I got the Brooklyn Nets. The one thing I will say about this team that to me is so amazing, Yes, it might take a time to gel. You have the Nets too. But we know, you know, it's D. Will, Joe Johnson, and Lopez that were already there, and they're adding the three Celtic veterans. So they will still need to be the clutch sort of pieces. But in the clutch, in the playoffs, when you have Terry, who admits that he wasn't great last year, but you've got Pierce and Garnett. They know what to do. Garnett talks defensively. They're going to, I think, respect the first-time coach, Jason Kidd. But then off the bench, when you've got Blatch, Terry, Kirilenko, Reggie Evans, if they have to go, you know, 10 to Tetlevic, and definitely, you know, really 11 to Tetlevic, because Sean Livingston will play the backup point a lot for them. And then don't forget Alan Anderson, who's really a nice player and is a good shooter for the Raptors, can play 2 and 3. And maybe Plumlee play some minutes while the veterans are resting. So this team is just, to me, oodles and oodles of O's, you know. They're a little De La Soul. They're deep and they're ridiculous. Now, at four, I'll let you break down the Pacers. We both have the Pacers at four. So what do you think about what the Pacers have and what they can do? And we saw them, what they could do last year.
I think the Pacers could actually finish ahead of the Nets. And I think that I love the Indiana Pacers, right? There's no reason not to. This team is getting better as we speak, right? They have a little bit of an injury, you know, issue with Danny Granger, Paul George. If those two can stay healthy, you know, again, a team that's built for the playoffs, because if they can get a short game, a half-court game, and they can allow their fans and their defense to come through. The question I have with them is going to be, in critical moments, execution down the stretch. Not a huge, huge George Hill guy. I think he's good. I don't know that he's great. It's hard to win a national championship. It's hard to win an NBA championship without a very good point guard. So to me, that's one of the issues that they have. But I like the
addition of CJ
Portland.
Watson.
Ah!
Watson off the bench is a big help.
He helps, but I just don't love that backcourt, though, that backcourt of George Hill and Lance Stephenson. I mean, I love Scola, the Scola pickup. I really love the Chris Copeland pickup. I think, talk about them adding a playoff-caliber player. They add Danny Granger back to a team that, gave the Bulls, gave the Heat fits. So I like the Pacers to come in, you know, potentially third in the conference, maybe fourth. They're a team that you don't want to meet in the playoffs, but I think ultimately their guard play is going to hold them back a little bit.
Okay. No, I can't argue. Look, we both have the Knicks at five. Anthony spoke about them. I wish I could say that I think they're going to the finals this year. We'll get to that soon. But I will say this. Like I said, when we summed it up with Anthony, it's Hardaway development. Martin, Amari, JR, the health. If Metawell Peace could change the mindset, and then really the next level. And you have to see the next level from, I think, Chandler doing a little bit offensively. Raymond Felton's got to be more consistent. And Shumpert. Shumpert's got to be a borderline all-star. If that happens, the Knicks can – it could be sky's the limit. I really feel that could be sky's the limit. So tell me this. Who you have at six, and I think we have the same team at six – and
no, my list got a little mixed up, but yeah, I really like, and they're probably a year away, but I really like the Cleveland Cavaliers. If they can keep that team together, if they can keep that Cavs team together, they're a team to be reckoned with in the next 5 years. We talked about Tristan Thompson as a guy to, you know, don't sleep on him. So don't sleep on Tristan Thompson. They may have the young, exciting backcourt. You mentioned it last week. But when you can throw Deion Waiters out there with a guy who is definitely a top 5 point guard, Kyrie Irving, that makes for a really, really sweet, you know, smooth backcourt. If they can get production 70% of what he was 2 years ago, Andrew Bynum, with the addition of the rookie,
Anthony Bennett, number one pick,
Anthony Bennett
from UNLV in Toronto,
a healthy Varejao, plus a Tristan Thompson. I mean, Alonzo G.
Tyler Zeller too. Tonight.
And to me, you know who the pickup is? Jarrett Jack. He lets you put Kyrie Irving at the two. He lets you sit Kyrie Irving. I think this Cavaliers team, look.
And Earl Clark. Don't forget Earl Clark. Big minutes for the Lakers last year. took a big
he
step
had a good
up,
second
yeah.
half of the season. This team, and again, Andrew Bynum and Anderson Varejão coming back, replacing essentially J.J., just losing J.J. Hickson. This team is, and I'm not even saying getting anything out of Tyler Zeller. This team, to me, is going to have a fantastic second half of the season. I think they may start off slowly, but I think they have
right.
a fantastic second half of the season, and I think that next year they could be a top three or four team in the East. But right now I have them finishing sixth, which is respectable. But you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they finish fourth or fifth.
Okay, so real quick, I have 7 and 8, Wizards and Pistons. I think you have the same order, or do you have it reversed?
Well, no, I actually have the Celtics making the playoffs. I think the Celtics
when Rondo coming back
above
healthy.
The Wizards. And I think that the Pistons. So I got the Celtics and the Pistons, and you have the Wizards and the Pistons making the playoffs.
Okay, so I guess the difference is for you, I mean, you like the moves, the veterans still in Boston. You know, Wallace, Marshawn Brooks, Jeff Green, Rondo coming back healthy. I actually think the Celtics are going to be kind of deadly, too. I just have them at 9. And then let's, you know, the Wizards. I think now that move where they just got Gortat, I think – that with Nene and their other additions and Otto Porter, who could be up there for Rookie of the Year, the Wizards could be deadly. So, you know, you might have them, you know, at 9, and I have them at 7. But I'm going to tell you right now, that Wizard team, you got to watch out for. The question is the Pistons. So bringing in Josh Smith, Brandon Jennings, right there, you're talking about two all-star players, even though Jennings has been on the outside of that, on the cusp of that. But then it's Beal, it's John Wall, who's just got to work on his, you know, jump shooting. But I think, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm talking about the Wizards, but I think with the Pistons, it's also their big size. Drummond and Greg Monroe working together with Josh Smith and Jennings.
Yeah, they're huge up front.
And Kartavius Caldwell-Pope. I mean,
boy.
The rookie, do you like what the Pistons could do? They can make some noise.
Jonas can bang.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think this is a team that's going to take at least a half a season to gel. I just look at them, and the pieces are there from a talent and athletic perspective. But, you know, you're trying to tell me that you're going to have Josh Smith at the 3? Now, he's the biggest, baddest, most athletic 3 out there, can block shots.
I like him
at the
3.
But that's where he got into trouble, when he tried to shoot too much in Atlanta, when he was hanging out 17, 20 feet
right.
from the basket.
But I'll say
like,
this,
no,
Greg
Josh.
Monroe – But listen, Greg Monroe can play sort of outside. He shoots a little bit. So him at the 4, I think it works together. I think Drummond, Monroe, and Smith is going to be sort of a sleeper front court. I really
do.
You know,
Peyton Siever's going to be starting their first game.
Yes, I do, and I like that. And listen, don't sleep on your boy Chauncey Billups coming back. And what he adds as a veteran, just, you know, hitting a couple of shots, but, you know, really in their ear. Sort of teaching Brandon Jennings how to be sort of what he needs to be, that can't be underestimated. I also like, you know, Stuckey has been sort of average his whole career, but Billups could help him. You know, the bench isn't great. You got Villanueva, Kyle Singler can shoot and give you some stuff. So it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, the East, the teams that will fall short, you know, the Sixers, the Raptors. I actually think Toronto – I don't have them in the playoffs, but I won't be surprised if the Raptors make it. I do like the moves that they made. To be honest with you, I think the Raptors, you know, with Rudy Gay there the whole season and Duran DeRozan, they've just been both named co-captains. You got to like what the Raptors could do with Kyle Lowry, DeRozan, and Gay. And if you got Amir Johnson, and it's all about Jonas Valanciunas.
If he steps up, Steve Novak will help them, give them a little more stretch offense, you know, with his
Tyler
three-point shooting ability.
Ross, yeah,
right. Hopefully, Austin
Landry
Gay can
Field.
Help a little bit in stretching the defense. Our boy Cycle T will be on that team. I don't know.
Cycle
I'm not
two.
That high on the roster of the Toronto Raptors as you are, but you know what?
Yeah,
it's that time of the show where we need to put our necks on the line a little bit. And start making some predictions. So,
all right.
So let's talk about the conference finals, the championship, and let's talk about our awards.
All right, so I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I got Kevin Durant winning my MVP, my rookie of the year, and real close will be LeBron and Chris Paul. My rookie of the year, it was really between two guys. I think Victor Oladipo, you know I call him Victor O, and C.J. McCollum from the Blazers. I love Otto Porter too, but I'm going to basically just go out on a limb and say Victor Oladipo. Coach of the year, I'm going with Doc Rivers. We already talked about it. I don't need to say more. My sixth man, it could be so many guys. But I got to go Harrison Barnes beating out Granger and Crawford and J.R. Smith. Eastern Conference, 4-3. I got the Heat beating out the Bulls. Great series. Western Conference, just like Anthony, and I think just like you, I got the Clippers 4-3 beating Durant and the Thunder. My NBA Finals, 4-2. Three-peat, the Miami Heat beat the L.A. Clippers, and LeBron James solidifies his historic career with three in a row. Ray,
okay,
break
so
it down
I'm
for
going,
us.
My MVP and eventual champion is Chris Paul. I think he has a crazy bounce back. I mean, not bounce back. He's always been great, but he takes his game to the next level under the tutelage of one Glenn Doc Rivers, who is my coach of the year. My rookie of the year is Ben McLemore. Love his game and how it translates to the pros. He'll be on a terrible Sacramento team, so he'll shoot a lot. His stats will be inflated, and so that is a formula to winning rookie of the year. The sixth man of the year, a guy who was an all-star as a starter and now is becoming a sixth man because he got Wally pipped. Danny Granger is my sixth man of the year. The Eastern Conference, I actually have the Heat losing in the Eastern Conference 4-3 to the Chicago Bulls. I think that Thibodeau and his team find a way to grind out a win or two in Miami. They hold home court in Chicago, and they beat the Bulls in an epic series 4-3. In the Western Conference, I have the Clippers beating the Spurs 4-2. I think the Spurs run out of gas, and that's it, the end of the Spurs era with Tim Duncan.
Surprised you got him going that far to the finals, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had the Thunder in the regular season. I don't know. I feel like the Clippers, because Russell Westbrook won't be Russell Westbrook, not this season, next season. So the NBA Finals, I got the Clippers beating the Bulls, and I have Chris Paul as the MVP of the league, the MVP of the finals, and the LA Clippers winning themselves a championship over the Bulls 4-3.
That is amazing. Interesting, but we both have the Clippers in the finals. I got the Heat, you got the Bulls, I got the Heat winning it all, you got the Clippers winning it all. Ray and Tay today, everybody enjoy the tip-off tonight, getting ready to start. Pacers, Orlando, then you got the Bulls and Heat, ring ceremony. The Lakers without Kobe Bean Bryant against Ray's championship Clipper team. That's wild. Could all happen. Let's go Knicks. In my heart, I say the Knicks win in 7 over the Clippers, but, you know, I just wish that would happen. So, great show. We'll be back on Friday. We'll, you know, sum up a little bit of these early NBA games. We got an NBA fantasy draft tonight. Ray and Tay doing it in our boy Orange League. We're going to have some fun with the World Series. It might end Thursday night in Game 7, or it could end. The Red Sox could win Wednesday night, Game 6. We'll see what Waka and the boys do for the Cardinals. And we'll see you Friday. Ray and Tay today.
Talking sports with friends.
Peace.
We're out.
NBA, baby. It's back! Yo, the NBA season. We tip it off and we give you the reasons to listen to the preview. You know how we do with Anthony Donahue coming to you through the Spreecast. You know we're on blast. Listen to Ray and Tay because our skills just last. You know the deal. Let me tell you, can the Knicks be for real? Or will it be the Nets or the vets on their team? Will it be the Pacers? Who's on the scene? Could it be the Clippers, the Spurs, or the Thunder? Oh my gosh, could it be a blunder? Can Dwight Howard try to step up and be clutch? Can the Grizzlies try to double dutch? inside with Zeke on the post. Don't you understand we want the Knicks to win the most? I pick, Tay says the Heat. Ray's got the Clippers, we're both so unique. But he's got the Bulls just winning in the finals. To lose to the Clippers, see? But maybe they could beat the Heat, I don't know. I don't think that's gonna be the scenario. Got the Heat beating the Clippers, you know I'm the Big Dipper. He complete, lyrically rocks the slipper. Number one, gold star going far. NBA preview, you know who we are. Ray and Tay today, lyrically I don't play. My name is E-Complete, you can hear me every day on the radio. Yes, I spit the flow and I spit the dough. And you know how I know, hashtag father of four sons, William Truth Taylor, he is number one. And my heart came back from the hospital, see, 22 days down, but he's standing, B. My son is strong, he's the truth, you know. Thanks for listening to Ray and Tay Today Radio. Peace.